Sick of being upsold at gyms?
My guy, you're currently a base member. For $90 more, I can upgrade you to our Shred membership. For $130 more, you'll be a swole member. And for just $300 more, you'll reach Sweat Platinum.
At Planet Fitness, you'll get energy without the upsell. Never pushy, always free fitness training and equipment for every workout. It's fitness that fits your budget. Join Planet Fitness for just $1 down and $10 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, May 10th. See Home Club for details.
Get in the freaking auto!
This is Brock and Salk.
Brock Huard and Marcus. Sorry about just Mike.
On Seattle Sports.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
You were not exactly Joe Cap there in the pocket.
Presented by Simply Seattle.
Now here are your hosts, Brock Huard and Mike Salk.
All right, it's Monday morning, and we roll on here. Brock and Salk, Seattle Sports on 710CLSports.com, Seattle Sports app, etc. Joel Klatt in 30 minutes. My favorite conversation in 1 hour. These are always fun. And then
Passan.
Jeff Passan at 8:30. What a morning. Yeah. What a morning we have planned. Hi, buddy. Good morning.
I mean, it's a big week. It's draft week.
It's true.
Yeah, it's Texas Rangers week.
It's race week, quite
it's
frankly.
It's race week. It's kind of everything.
It's like
I don't even know if I can handle all of it.
Yeah.
Kind of like my baseball field yesterday. 12 hours. Pulled in at 8 a.m., left at 8 p.m. 12 hours of youth baseball. Yeah, 12 hours of youth baseball.
That's a lot of youth baseball, right?
That's a lot. That's what happens in these
it's too much.
Travel tournament teams, Salky. You play pool play Saturday, and if you win, you keep winning and keep winning.
It's not that different from what the Mariners had yesterday. They were probably there for a lot longer than 8, right? Noon game, 5 o'clock game. I mean, they were there for a huge portion of the day. And over the course of this weekend, and really now it's been 6 games or so, we're seeing the formula. The formula is starting to play out, right? Now, did it against the Reds, did it against the Rockies. As I said, first 10 games of the season, we said they were, 4-6? And we're like, you know what? They could probably be 2-8. They were 4-6, probably could have or even should have been 2-8. Last 10 games, they are 7-3. They could probably be 8-2 or 9-1. They've really kind of played to that level. Win one of those games against Chicago and the middle game yesterday, and you're like, yep, you could very easily be 9-1.
Yep.
Instead, you're 7-3. So, you know, maybe a couple of the games you should have lost in the first week. Now you should have won in the second week. It kind of evens out. And through, 22 games, you're 11-11. But the formula is supposed to be JP gets on base, Julio is Julio, and then starting pitching does its thing, and you have success. Well, let's take a look at what we're seeing. Julio, still no home runs, but he did go 8 of 14 this weekend. Going back to the day off he got, he's 11 of his last 28 for a .392 average during that span. He's not hitting for power. There's a couple of doubles in there, and there's some RBIs. But start to get the contact back, and I'm pretty sure the power will follow for Julio.
I would agree. Do you feel like he's focusing on going the other way? Is there a purposeful intent to just kind of spray the ball and make contact? And, you know, if I've got to just go the other way and hit a single, I'll go the other way and hit a single.
Yeah, and I'd like to see that with two outs, or two strikes, rather. I don't know whether I need to say that all the time. You know, there is a subtle but important difference from what I've been told and talking to, you know, major league hitting coaches, et cetera, between trying to go up the middle and trying to go the other way.
Okay.
And going up the middle is preferable.
Which he did quite a bit of
you
over these 3 days.
You want to think up the middle. When you're thinking up the middle, you might accidentally crush one over the left field fence pull side. When you're thinking go to right, when you're thinking go the other way, it can be a little bit harder to do that.
You're kind of letting the ball travel
very
an awful
deep.
Lot. Yep,
very deep.
And then you're probably losing a lot of your power.
So Julio does his thing, right? He goes 8 of 14 this week. And JP, in the last 9 games, has raised his on-base percentage. Remember, JP get on base, Julio be Julio, and then starting pitching. JP has raised his on-base percentage from .216 to .287 in 9 games. .287.
I mean, that's not quite Zebby Zavala.
It's not what Zebby did yesterday.
You know, who went from a 0 to a 200. But
very impressive. From .216 to .287 in 9 games. Look, .287 is still not going to get it done at the top of the order. That's not what you're looking for from J.P. Crawford. But to go from .216 to .287 in just over a week, totally different. And when he gets on base and when he starts hitting and you see he drove in a bunch of runs and he has the big triple yesterday and it looked like he was going to win the game in the first game there, right, until you obviously you blew it in the 10th. you know, you need JP to be one of your stars. You've expected him. You built your team that way.
Yep. Yep. And then the starting pitching sulk. And then
we spend all day on that.
Starting pitching.
So the starting pitching now, Brock, just for reference, has had a quality start in 9 of their last 10 games. Starting pitching went 8 straight quality starts, blew the streak when George Kirby went 5 innings and didn't give up a run yesterday.
George.
Unfortunately, not a technical quality start. You'll have to settle for it being an excellent start.
Mm-hmm.
And then got right back to it with Hancock yesterday evening. Yeah. So 10 straight games in which the starting pitcher has not allowed more than 3 runs.
If you see that, so there was 91 innings, right? Because there's one extra inning there. 16 walks, 96 strikeouts over the last 10 games.
Incredible.
And a 1.48 ERA.
I mean, just remarkable. They don't put guys on base. They're not giving up a lot of runs. They're doing what you expected this rotation to do, and they're doing all of it without Brian Wu, who's not even going to be back for another couple of weeks.
Yep. Scotty Scheffler-esque kind of run that they have been on, right? I mean, you just don't expect it at this level. And even in Colorado, that is Justin wrote last night. That's not a great lineup. That's probably the worst lineup I've ever seen the Rockies ever run out.
It's
There's hardly anybody threatening, but still in their park to give up 4 runs in 3 days in that ballpark, you know, hitting at 5,280 feet where it's very advantageous, even if it was a quasi blizzard on Thursday and Friday. And, you know, Luis was just freaking nails. Great to see him back. And Emerson Hancock, you know, he's maximizing this opportunity. So, yeah, but starting pitching has just been unreal. And I can't wait. Can't wait to see your starting pitching. It'll be Logan. It'll be Bryce. It'll be Luis. And it'll be all 3 of them right down there in Arlington, which will be just awesome. Awesome to see your strength going up against the Ranger strength right now, which continues to be their offense. But you put yourself sulky with all of that, with Julio, with grinding out at bats, with the with starting pitching and throwing the relievers as well. I mean, those guys have been pretty darn good on the back end of many of these games as well. I know, unfortunate for Mooney to start with a ghost runner, zombie runner at second.
Yeah, and then give up, honestly, a bunch of soft contact. It's not like he got, you know, beat around yesterday. He gave up a couple of soft contact singles, and that ended up being the difference. And, you know, look, he's got to strike guys out, but what are you going to do?
You know what's cool is you said this a couple weeks ago, and this is over these 7-10 days, this is not just because you're winning. Right. Even if you lost some of these games, you're not going to win every game. You won back-to-back series, which is awesome. But you know what's great about this going into Texas now? You know how you want to play. Right. I mean, it's taken 22 games or so, and it's still incredibly early in the season. But this is like, you know, I think it's important for in any sport. Hey, man, this is my game. This is the way that I'm going to play. This is going to be my style. This is going to be my scheme. This is going to be the way we're going to go about doing it. And, you know, to see some of that really come to life over the last couple weeks, super, super encouraging.
Yeah, and Cal talked about that yesterday, basically said that, like, hey, we doubled down. For some reason, my cut's dead here, Mark. Do you think you could play that Cal sound that you played during?
I think she cut your legs.
You think so?
I think she did.
This is her way of
competition week. Just kind of get you off your game, make you a little unsettled.
Hey, listen to Cal talk about this. I think this is actually relevant.
Mm-hmm.
Greater service, greater diamond options, and greater savings. The only professional office for diamonds and diamond jewelry. By appointment only in Tacoma or globally by phone or email. BestDiamondPrice.com or on Instagram at KANTOR Diamond.
You're free now. Free to stream beyond your wildest dreams. Free to be everything you imagine and then some. That's how it feels to have Quantum Fiber. Your world unleashed. Learn more at QuantumFiber.com. Limited availability. Service in select locations only.
Real estate transactions can feel intimidating, but at Tycor Title, we make it feel more like a visit to your favorite coffee shop. Seamless, satisfying, and efficient every time. Trust Tycor Title with your next real estate transaction. Go to mytycor.com.
Mariners group outings are a great option for all kinds of events. School family nights, fundraisers, office parties, and more. It's as easy as choosing a game and gathering a group of 20 plus. Start planning your outing today at mariners.com/groups.
Spring is here, and now is a great time to visit the incredible new showroom at Toyota of Kirkland. Right now, Toyota of Kirkland has over 400 new Toyotas in stock and on the way, including Camrys, RAV4s, Tacomas, Highlanders, 4Runners, and Tundras. Test drive one today and drive it home immediately. Let the team at Toyota of Kirkland take the hassle out of the car buying experience. Toyota of Kirkland will exceed your expectations in every way. Visit them today or shop online at toyotaofkirkland.com.
O'Brien. to know.
15 minutes past every hour with Brock and Salk.
Here's what you need to know. Up first.
Now, nice little run here for the Mariners all of a sudden, and they do it the way it's supposed to be done with starting pitching. It started Saturday as Luis Castillo did his thing.
Swing and a miss. He struck him out. Luis with the Castillo flex and the knee bend. He has been magnificent tonight. 9 strikeouts, goes 1-2-3 in the 7th. A dominant performance by Luis Castillo.
Yeah, it was
7-0 Mariners.
Wasn't just the It wasn't just the strikeouts. He allowed a total of 2 hits, 1 walk, went 7, didn't give up a run. Yes, the team scored another 9 runs, but he was the story Saturday.
Yeah, sometimes it's mind over matter, you know, on that stuff. And the Rock was ready. You know, he's gotten off to a little bit of a slower start this spring or this season, but you know, we saw it coming together at the end of his last start and it carried over to tonight. So just dominant performance.
That was pretty good.
You know what I loved was Divish yesterday tweeting the video. I don't know if you saw it, of Luis running the stairs there in the stadium. And I guess that is his day after routine, is get the lactic acid out and also kind of stay strong in your base, stay strong in those legs. So kind of cool to see him getting that work in. And just a reminder that it is not just these 100 pitches they throw once a week, man. It's a lot of work.
Somebody just understand that your favorite part of Luis's weekend was not when he went 7 dominant innings.
No,
it was to know that he actually works out a little bit the next day.
No, all of it was very, very cool.
Okay, I was just checking.
All of it was very cool.
I just wanted to make sure I understood what
you enjoyed. And by the way, I'm going to thank David Bell and Bud Black, leave these two series and go, good Lord.
Right.
Don't want to see those guys again.
Yeah.
And when you build your foundation and you build your organization on pitching, you can win a lot of ball games.
Sure,
and that's back to back series wins for your
Seattle
Mariners.
Kirby went 7, went 5 shutout innings. That ended the quality start streak. It's 8. But then Hancock got it started again a few hours later. They lose the early game yesterday thanks to a couple of 10th inning bloops and grounders that were enough to kind of blow a save for Andres Munoz. And then they get it going again last night. The offense did its thing, scored another 9 runs.
The right-hander's 3-1 pitch to Crawford, swing and a high fly ball deep in the right center field. Cave going back to the one he dragged to the wall, and this one is off the top of the fence. Here comes Raley to score. Urias Ronnie third coming in. Here comes Zavala Ronnie third being waved in. He will score. Crawford scampers the third.
That's pretty nice. A little 3-run triple with the bases juice.
422 feet would have been a home run in 29 of 30 Major League Baseball stadiums.
Well, they scored 20 runs in the series. I know they gave up 4. They scored 20 runs in the series. That's going to get it done more times than not. They've won 7 of their last 10, just at a half a game out of first place as they head to Texas tomorrow.
Here's the second thing you need to know.
Well, Brock, it's draft week. We're just a couple of days away from finding out how this goes on Thursday. I was reading Jordan Reed's mock draft, his final mock draft today. He has the Seahawks trading down. You'll like this one. From 16 to 20 with Pittsburgh, they had a 3rd-round pick. And they still get Troy Faltano at number 20.
Please, let that be truth. Joel Klatt in 10 minutes. I texted Joel and Daniel Jeremiah yesterday. And I just kind of had this thought as I was thinking about this draft Thursday and these Huskies in particular. I've loved past Husky players. I love Dante Pettis. Some of it was him working at my camp. He could not have been a sweeter, kinder guy. You know, there have been Husky players that I've loved through the years. None like this team. From Roma Dunze to Troy Faltano to Roger Rosengarten, I mean good humans, good dudes that happen to be great, great football players. And the Husky brand is going to be all over that first round, all over that second round, all into that 3rd round. It'll be an opportunity for Jed Fish and the marketing team over there on Montlake. I know they didn't coach him up, but it is their brand, and it will be more omnipresent Thursday than I think it has ever been on a draft day.
Here's the third thing you need to know.
Let's go. We'll get a little bit of injury news updates with the Mariners. Nice to see Brian Wu getting after it this weekend. Went 3 very strong innings. He only needed 35 pitches, so he's never really tested. But 35 pitches, 3 innings, no problem. So now if he bounces back okay, he'll try to go probably 60 or so in the next outing. And then maybe one last rehab start after that if he needs it. Mm-hmm. So he's just maybe a little over 2 weeks away, right? That'd be about 15 days from potentially seeing him again. I don't know where Emerson Hancock will be at that point. he certainly has not done anything to lose a spot in the rotation. I did check. They are not going to a six-man rotation, though. That is not something they want to do. And some of it, I think, has to do with just making sure that the relievers, they have enough, et cetera. So they are not interested in a six-man rotation. Yep. Matt Brash should be also back right around then. He's on a pretty similar timeline. Mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. you may see Matt Brash early, like sort of first, second week of May could be a pretty interesting
pretty
time.
Awesome. No word on Santos, right? In those reports yesterday, I've not seen any of that.
They're being very cautious with
yes.
him.
Yes, so they're going to be a little slower with him. And when you got Michael Bolton's son dealing the way he is, Miller dealing the way he is, Stanek dealing the way he is, Mooney dealing the way he is, Saucedo dealing the way he is, yeah. you know who's also been just excellent, just as good as he's ever been, is Spire.
Yeah.
I mean, that we talk about the starting rotation, but you've also got the back end of that. Thornton got out of the jam yesterday. He's been pretty darn good, man. They just continue to build upon their pitching. Pretty darn impressive.
All right, there you go. That's everything you need to know. Quarter past every hour here on the Brock and Salk Show, or at least almost everything.
Not everything you need to know.
Yeah, maybe there's one.
Not quite everything you need to know. Yeah.
Yeah, Maura and I were both at the track. I had, I said this earlier, Brock. I did 15 years worth of exercise yesterday. So I think I'm ready for the race. I ran a 5K in the morning.
Interesting.
And then Interesting. I got to the track in the yes. afternoon to run a couple of 200s.
Okay.
And so, yeah, I would say I'm ready. I'd be so mad
if that actually works for you.
Why?
So you're not going to do anything. You should probably just rest, right?
Yeah, now I want to rest. Yes. I was nauseous after the 200s. I'm not going to lie. But I'm going to rest a little bit. I did what yes. I needed to do today. Maybe yeah. a little light jog or something yeah. just to kind of, you know, keep stretching. Mm-hmm. I've been doing a lot of stretching, which I think is obviously the key to my success.
Mm-hmm. How's Heather's hammy?
Still hurts.
Ooh,
yeah, okay. She's doing okay, but it hurts. Yeah.
All right.
She's still mm-hmm. in some pain.
Yep. And Maura, have you stepped on the gas yet? Have you done like the Tom Cruise Maverick testing, you know, what mock speed you can get to? Mm. Or are you still just kind of jogging along?
No, I ran a 200 yesterday.
Okay.
Pretty all out, yeah.
Okay.
I definitely felt like I noticed that I wasn't
Do you have a charity of choice yet?
I forget to figure that out. Goodness. I'm sorry. I'll get it. Don't okay. worry.
It just seems like one of us is focused on this. That's all. I mean, like, it's fine. I get it. I mean, like, Maura thinks she can just get out of bed and race and everything will be fine.
It's a lot easier for somebody to get out of bed and race when they've been going to the gym for months.
Sure.
It's a little bit easier mentally to wrap your mind around what it's like.
If you say
so. Yeah, I'm the one that thinks I can just get out of bed and race.
Yeah, it does. Seems like there's going to be a little tortoise in the hair situation. We'll see. Mm-hmm. I'm excited. That's going to be Thursday. Maura and I race a 200-meter challenge at the Husky Track, and there'll be some video footage. And
nice.
Yeah.
Maura, are you still doing that lifting with the old ladies?
I'm not lifting with all my... I told him that there was a silver sneakers option at my gym, and I didn't know what that was. And then I found out that it's for the like the seniors, and now he just assumes that that's like all that I is at my gym.
Just old people.
Great name. Silver sneakers. Silver sneakers. I love that.
I know that because Peg Heward was at one point a silver sneaker. She's like, well, you know, calcium, as you get older for women, it's not good for the bones.
It is important.
Yeah, you got to lift. Got to keep lifting. Yes. Okay.
All right. Well, Morris lifting and...
Silver sneakers versus
Couch to 5K in one day. Couch to 5K in one day, baby. Let's go. We'll come right back with Joel Klatt. Brock and Salk, Seattle Sports on 710seattlesports.com.
You're free now. Free to stream beyond your wildest dreams. Free to be everything you imagine, and then some. That's how it feels to have Quantum Fiber. Your world unleashed. Learn more at quantumfiber.com. Limited availability. Service in select locations only.
Greater service, greater diamond options, and greater savings. The only professional office for diamonds and diamond jewelry. By appointment only in Tacoma or globally by phone or email. BestDiamondPrice.com or on Instagram at KANTOR Diamond.
Spring is here, and now is a great time to visit the incredible new showroom at Toyota of Kirkland. Right now, Toyota of Kirkland has over 400 new Toyotas in stock and on the way, including Camrys, RAV4s, Tacomas, Highlanders, 4Runners, and Tundras. Test drive one today and drive it home immediately. Let the team at Toyota of Kirkland take the hassle out of the car buying experience. Toyota of Kirkland will exceed your expectations in every way. Visit them today or shop online at toyotaofkirkland.com.
O'Brien.
Now.
massive. The Power of Pop Culture is Seattle's Museum of Pop Culture's newest exhibition featuring iconic artifacts from Batman, Star Wars, Barbie, and more. All throughout May, Washington residents receive special discounts on tickets and memberships. Tickets at mopop.org/maycation.
If you haven't been getting the white glove treatment, you deserve better. I'm Tia from Tycor Title, and we'll give you top-tier service, a smooth process, and consistent results every time. So trust Tycor Title with your next real estate transaction. Go to mytycor.com.
You're listening to Brock and Salk.
Powered through the Alaska Airlines Studio.
On Seattle Sports and the Seattle Sports App.
Oh, man, Brock and Salk, Seattle Sports on 710. Just 4 days away, Brock, from the draft. It's going to be Thursday. I guess it's really 3 days. So we're getting there. We're getting there. Thursday is going to be round one of the draft. Sorry, I really considered round two. Like, for those of us who are really into the draft and, like, kind of go deep with our analysis,
yeah,
right, watch a lot of film.
Think of how many man hours, right. Honest to God.
I really think of Friday as kind of being the first. Like,
sure.
Round one is for the people.
Yeah.
But for those of us that have been busy watching film,
well, that's what Bill Belichick said, right? 95% right. of the time is spent in the top 5% of the draft.
Right.
But, you know, it's for you and Stacey. You come in on Saturday for a reason.
Right. For those of us that are real draft nicks, that are really spending the time watching the video, know all the players. For us,
which would be great.
For people like me, the draft really starts on Friday.
Yes.
And in some ways, really not till Saturday. But Friday, I'll kind of give you as the in-between. Sure. Thursday's just for the people. Like, sure. You know me. But at that point, it's like, whatever. We've already kind of.
Well, this will be great. We'll bring Joel on here in just a second. Joel and we'll have him quiz you on fifth through seventh rounders.
Well, I didn't say that. I
said just see how equipped you really are.
I'm very, very well equipped. You know who was equipped was Booger. Booger knew everybody in this draft, man. He was on top of this thing. Joel Klatt joins us right now from Fox Sports. Joel, you're like me, right? You know the draft doesn't really get going until Friday, right? For those of us who've been watching the film the whole time.
Yeah, because, you know, there's no first rounders that are really contributing towards a Super Bowl. That would be silly.
That would be ridiculous. That's what the Seahawks have sort of argued for years. They never draft anybody in the first round. They trade out of it every time. How many... How many real first rounders do you think there are in this draft?
Oh, that's a good question. I actually think this is a deeper draft than last year. I think that there are probably 35. I think it's a little bit more than the 32. I think that there are about 35 guys that I can see as being legitimate first round talent.
Wow.
That's a lot.
That's got to be as much as you've ever done. In these years, if you
yeah,
covered the draft,
I mean,
huh?
Like last year, I felt like there was 16. You know, and part of it is the COVID year in college, and through NIL, guys are staying longer. So you've got this year is one of the first years that you've really got this combination of guys that stayed late and that have gone out traditionally. And I think that we see that reflected more specifically in the quarterback position, where you've got the three guys that are traditional. You know, first round, JJ comes out after 3 year, Drake, Caleb Williams. And then you've got the old guys, you know, Jaden Daniels banged around a little bit, obviously Michael Penix and Bo Nix. So you've got this confluence of two different things, which is what makes this specific draft so unique.
I was chatting with one of Titus's baseball dad's buddies yesterday about the draft and football work and game prep and everything else. And he was asking me about some of that preparation. And I thought to myself, wonder how many man hours Joel Klatt has spent. Wonder how many man hours Daniel Jeremiah, whose full-time job comes into full screen light come Thursday. How many man hours do you think DJ spends? How many man hours do you spend?
Well, DJ's a lot more than me. Probably at a minimum double what I would do because he does – I stop it. At the third round, I do first two nights and then I'm done, you know, and I let the real experts like Salk take over on Saturday. You know, and you know what I'm talking about, Salk.
I sure do.
Dialed in.
Yep.
And so DJ, I know starts Thanksgiving weekend, like in earnest. I don't start until the end of the college football season. And Brock, I don't really start until then. Cause I don't want to mix like my NFL evaluations into, you know, what I'm thinking about from a college perspective, because I think those can be different. I think that we see that all the time. But man, I couldn't even put a number on it. I have no idea. I know just in the last week alone, I've spent easily 60, 65 hours just on the draft. And that's just in the last, week, week and a half. Mm. So I know right after the season, I start to put together my list. What I try to do is I try to put together a list of what I feel like are the top 200 players. And then I start to go back and I start to get bio information. And I start to watch film. And I try to have basically like this three-pronged evaluation where I'm trying to bring a specific information set to the desk because DJ's the scout, right? Mm-hmm. He's the one that's going to scout the players. Charles Davis has a lot of the NFL team information, and I want to bring the college perspective. What were these guys when they were recruits? What is their story? What were they asked to do in their college programs? So I talk with a lot of the college coaches and strength coaches around the country, and the man hours is hard to put a number on.
All right, well, then let's ask you about some of these guys that we've had some conversations about now that I feel, by this point, I feel like we're so invested in some of these players, like out of nowhere, like, well, they got to get this guy at 16 and they got to get that guy. So let's start on the defensive side of the ball. If both players, and I don't know if this will happen, but if both players are available at 16, Verse or Latu?
So if you're just going based on the play on the field, I think Latu would be your guy. But as we know, these decisions are not made in that type of vacuum. I think that the neck injury, issues from Washington, you guys are well versed in that and what happened. I get it that like he got cleared and he was phenomenal at UCLA. But the neck injury stuff is just a scary deal. And Jared Verse has proven that he is and can be incredibly productive. I think Latu is probably a more instinctive player. I would probably take Verse though. You can't miss in the first round. And the injury issue, I think, is just a red flag. And that's not fair to him. Obviously, can't control that. But that's part of the evaluation. It's got to be part of the thought process.
I think a lot of the thought process at that draft room down the road from us this morning is find a way to trade back, find a great trade partner. I think a pretty good point at 16, based on what happens in front of you, receiver, a quarterback, lineman, it can be a bunch of teams with needs. The one guy to me that is going to be really difficult to pass up if he's still there, so I'll set up the same question Salk just did, Troy Fautanu at 16 or trade down?
Oh man, I like him a lot. I know he's one of your favorite. I saw. Did you say he's one of your favorite to ever play at Washington? One of your favorite players?
Yeah, Roma Dunze is probably. I put Rome and Troy Fautanu is a player because he's an O-lineman and he makes O-line cool and he's an absolute just killer. I mean, he just wants to physically humiliate you.
Be the best college interview we've ever had on the station.
Yeah, and then he came on the show for 20 minutes, Joel, and it was like what?
He's like ready to co-host. He was awesome.
My how gosh. Is this possible? This guy's like kind.
God, I mean, Brock's dream right there. Replace Salk with
Troy Fautanu. Yeah. It's either going to be him or Vita Vea. Probably the two best interviews. Oh, wait. Vea, not so
man.
Much.
Well, at this point, really anyone. Right, Brock? You know what I'm talking about.
I love the way you say Salk, by the way. Yeah. You say it with such kind of a disdain.
Like derision.
Yeah, well, like Passan was on last week. And just what did Passan, Justin, what
he
did Passan call?
Short, stubby something.
Stump?
Yeah.
It was a stubby little chump.
Yeah, that wasn't
stubby
nice.
Little chump.
Yeah. What? Don't tell Joel about that. You're just going to give him ideas.
I mean, if you're sensing that, Brock, it's because it's completely on purpose. I love Troy's versatility. I think that he can move around, which gives a lot of value, right? You're not just one of these guys that has played five straight years at right tackle, which then makes me question, well, okay, like what are you going to do if you have to move around? I love his athleticism. The volleyball background is so intriguing to me, as a spring sport in high school. Mm-hmm. And then the other part that I love, I don't really care that Salk likes him because he's a good interview. I like the fact that his peers in the Pac-12 vote him as like, you are the toughest to go against. the Morris Trophy winner, right? Like, to me, that speaks volumes. Because they know, you know on the field, you know when a defensive back or a linebacker, or, you know when these guys are difficult. You know when their presence is felt on the field. And that, to me, speaks volumes. I know that he can play left, and that's great. But the fact that he can have some position versatility, to me, is highly valuable. He's aggressive. He's got great hands. You know, all of those things. He would be tough to pass up. I really like him as a prospect. The hard part for Troy, candidly, this is a deep offensive lineman draft. So there's a lot of guys, and I think the evaluation will be different for everybody. Mims is a good player at Georgia. Guyton is a good player at Oklahoma. J.C. Latham, he's a good player from Alabama. Fuaga from Oregon State. Alt, obviously, Olu Fashanu. Like, there's a lot of good offensive linemen. So, unfortunately for him, I feel like his range is fairly wide based on those little evaluation margins from team to team.
Does that make him in some ways a better pick at 16 or so, because maybe in another year he would drift, or he wouldn't be quite that far down, versus someone like Byron Murphy, where you're looking at him going, man, there aren't a lot of high-end defensive tackles in this draft. And so maybe he looks a little bit better in comparison than he might look in another year. I guess the reason I'm asking is because I understand how all of the draft folks, the actual draft Knicks, not me, the actual draft Knicks, compare defensive end to defensive end, guard to guard, quarterback to quarterback. The challenge for me, though, is how do I compare Jared Verse to Troy Fautanu or Byron Murphy to Michael Penix? That's where things get so dicey, I would think.
Well, I think that becomes a question of, are you a team that will lean more towards need or best available? And that's a different style of question. I do know that the philosophy of the defense that Mike McDonald runs is incredibly ingrained. And it starts with, you have to build a run wall. You just have to do, you can't play defense unless you build a run wall. This is the verbiage that they use. And that starts with the defensive tackles. It doesn't start with the linebackers. It starts with the defensive tackles. They want to be able to jump between odd fronts and even fronts based on nickel and regular base personnel. They want to have three defensive linemen in there at times in the interior, two in the interior. And so depth is incredibly vital. You can't just say, well, we've got our two tackles. They need three, four guys in order to rotate and build that run wall. So to me, it comes down to organizational value. And I'm just assuming this is that I think that Seattle, in particular with Mike McDonald, is going to value a defensive tackle higher than most teams. And because of that, I think Byron Murphy, I've mocked Byron Murphy to Seattle. And I think that's a good location for him, because this dude is a hell of a player. He's a 300 pounder that can run 4.87 in the 40. He's athletic. He can make plays. And from a philosophy standpoint, a mentality standpoint, and a structure standpoint, I think he fits what Mike McDonald will want to do.
Last two questions for me here, Joel. In 10 years, which of these Huskies will we be talking about in the NFL? Like, yep, that was a home run pick back in 2024.
I'd love to say all three. I mean, shoot. More, I mean, Polk's a good player. McMillan could be the most undervalued of them all because of the injuries, guys. Mm-hmm. 2 years ago, he was, I know Rome physically has always been the most impressive guy, but man, look at the production a couple of years ago from McMillan. It's hard for me to pass on the opportunity to wax about Michael Penix. And here's what I'll say about Michael Penix. It is so rare in our game, Brock, that we cover on a week in and week out basis, to come across a quarterback who is asked to do exactly what he would be asked to do in the NFL. Normally what we see is teams that have a far superior margin of talent with the good teams, and those quarterbacks aren't asked to sit there in the pocket and read full field reads and attack down the field with leverage and accuracy and timing, more specifically, 15, 20, 25 times a game. We don't see that. We don't see it. What we see are guys with incredible skill sets like Caleb Williams and Drake May, and they create. or incredible teams around them, like Jaden Daniels. Think about what he had around him. Or we see a J.J. McCarthy that has a philosophy and a structure around him that allows him to only have to throw full field reads, you know, 5-6 times a game from the pocket. And here we've got Michael Penix. And this dude is asked to sit there and sling it, man. And he did it as well as anybody. He passes the football, not throws. He passes the football down the field as well as anybody. If he goes to the right spot, I do believe Michael Penix can be a quarterback that leads a franchise to a potential Super Bowl. And because of that, and no other reason, I think he would be the one that I would kind of vote for pick of who we're going to be talking about in 10 years.
Then I got to say this, and I've said it to Brock this week. If you're the Seahawks and your quarterback spot is fine but not settled long term, and you truly believe what you just said, Joel, yeah, maybe he's not the number 16 pick in the draft, but if you get a chance to get a quarterback that you think can win a Super Bowl, screw it. Don't you take him at 16 and just let everything else fall where it may?
Well, of course. And the only reason I didn't do that in my latest mock, which, by the way, comes out, it's out today, Bill Clash Show. Just shameless plug.
Big
don't
news.
Worry about
That's
it.
Nice.
It's what us professionals do.
Yeah.
I agree. I don't think he's going to be there.
Okay.
I really believe we're going to have all six of these guys taken before the Seattle picks.
Which in some ways helps Seattle, right? I mean, like that in some ways pushes good players to them. But if so, 100%. Let me just ask this. If he's there, you take him at 16?
I mean, I would. I love the guy. Yep. You don't see this. You don't see him throw. Brock, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Yep. This type of skill set does not come around in college football. I get it. He's had some injuries in his past. But the ability to, from the pocket, attack a defense, not just take what the defense gives, not just operate the offense. This dude attacks the defense down the field with leverage. So when I say with leverage, I know Brock knows what I'm talking about, but Salk, let me kind of help you out. The leverage piece means that he's constantly passing the ball, not throwing it, but passing the ball to give his wide receiver better odds than the defender. He doesn't throw 50-50 balls. He throws 60-40 balls. He throws 65-35 passes. So in a lot of ways, these guys' job become much easier because the ball is constantly on the offensive player's side, even down the field, whether he's driving it, whether he's layering the ball, throwing the touch, throwing deep. He does a remarkable job of putting the ball in the exact spot that gives his wide receiver the best chance to make a play.
Is that why you say passing, not throwing? Is that what you mean?
Correct. It's like an entry pass in basketball.
Right.
You know, you always... You're trying to throw it down to the post player. You're always kind of like, you know, a little bounce pass where away from the defender. He's passing the football, and it's beautiful to watch.
Okay, last thing. We're super late, but you know, you're that great. And then I'm gonna I'm gonna tell just a terrible story about you that I feel like I got to share because you didn't understand leverage. So here's my question. You can think about it while I share the story. From Bruce Irvin to James Carpenter to Jordan Brooks to Rashad Penny to LJ Collier, there have been multiple first round picks where Salk will look at me after the pick and be like, "Who is that? You didn't talk about him." I'm like, "I know. I have no idea who James Carpenter is. I've never talked
Brock
about him once."
I literally had no idea who James Carpenter was when the Seahawks selected him.
So think about a pick that the Seahawks could make that they trade down from 16 to 28 to the Bills or 26 to the Bills to get another second rounder and yada, yada, yada. Think of a name that may be a big surprise, and then I'll tell a quick story about Joel Klatt, who did not play leverage well, Salk.
Okay,
Joel Klatt's like a scratch or minus two golfer. He's unbelievable. And we had an event at Big 12 Media. No, one of these media days, I forget. And basically ESPN rolled out their lead golfer, a guy named Steve Ackles, their producer, who is basically a passer. He just takes what's there and he understands leverage. And then there's Joel, who's more talented.
Right.
But Joel decides to try to cut some drive over a house.
Oh.
Yeah. And instead of
he's
like,
one of those golfers?
Yes.
He's like, you know what? I'm gonna pull out the baby fade here.
Yes.
I get it. Yeah.
Joel, you've got the tools.
Right.
It's not,
just
it's not
it
time.
Middle.
Just go beat ESPN. It's
right.
not time to put on a show. Understand leverage.
Wow.
This is true. This is true. This is absolutely true.
Oh, so
this
mad.
This is absolutely true.
Oh, so mad.
I tried
so
to.
Mad.
I did the U.S. Open local qualifier a couple of years ago.
Oh, I heard about this.
And I made par on the first hole, and I was all amped up, and it's a, like a dogleg right with OB left on the second hole, and so I hit it, and I'm like, ah, it's just like not cutting, but you know, like I can't hit it through the fairway, but because of my adrenaline, it goes through the fairway. It's literally OB, past the OB stake by like
a
foot.
It's done.
So I have to go back and re-tee. Now I hook it left. So now I'm hitting five from the tee. And let's just say I took a 12 on the second hole of the U.S. Open qualifier. That was fun.
I could do that.
Give me an A.
Okay,
late
20s. I've got my guy. Are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
Ruke Orozarhor. I can't even pronounce his name.
Uh-oh.
Who is that?
He's a tackle from Clemson. Athletic guy. He's almost 300 pounds, 4.89 in the 40. He was considered a leader, the leader, really, of that Clemson defense. Remember, Nick Eason is there at Clemson. He played in the NFL, coached in the NFL. They lose him. I think it's Ruke. I got to find the phonetic pronunciation. So there you go. That's an outside the box.
Let me just tell you.
A lot of people have him just outside of the top 50. You know, maybe the top 60 players, and as a defensive tackle, you're like, watch out. You never know.
The best answer to this question is, if the Seahawks with the 16th pick select a player who one of the draft analysts can't pronounce.
No. Trade it down. We trade it down from 16.
Oh, they 16. Trade down to 20 or something like that.
This is not 16. Right. This would be like, yes.
Ruke.
There's nothing better than when the Seahawks draft somebody that the people on TV can't pronounce.
I'm trying to find his phonetic.
That's the dream come true scenario.
It would be perfect.
It's Ruke. It's Ruke, like Juke. And then O-Ro-Ro-Ro.
Ruke-O-Ro-Ro-Ro.
Ruke-O-Ro-Ro-Ro.
Yeah.
I'm from Clemson.
All right. Yep. I'll tell you what. I don't know
Salt
where he's
would row his boat down Lake Washington through
Stop
the cut.
And I'm right out. Stop
like,
it.
I gave you a good one. Like, at That's least a you hell haven't of a, heard yes. this guy.
A row, row, row. All in. Hey, Joel.
And if that happens at 28 on set Thursday night, you're going to be losing your mind, and we know it.
Yeah, tell me quickly before you get to go.
I will never root for a pick harder than Rook. Oh, row, row, row.
What is your schedule on Thursday? Where can people see you?
Do you really care?
No, but I thought you might want to tell the people.
That's what I thought. I just wanted to hear
you
say
that you
actually didn't care.
Yeah, no, I watch ESPN. I don't care
on
where
the
you are.
NFL Network. I appreciate that. That's professional. Look at you. You're trying to take care of your
I mean, guests. We're an ESPN affiliate. I mean, the things you got to say, yeah.
I mean, you know, you can go watch whatever you're going to watch. The real football people will be watching the NFL Network. I'll be on the NFL Network on the first day and second day with DJ and CD and Rich Eisen.
That's
so
great.
I'll be there Thursday.
I'll be listening to Brock, actually, here on Seattle Sports as he offers his analysis.
I might do that as well. Yeah.
We used to have Clayton on that, and it would be fun. Clayton would read the picks ahead of time and then try not to make it seem as if he knew what the pick was going to be because it was
hilarious.
On a bit of a delay. Yes. Clayton would be like, oh, I think they're going to go defensive tackle. Like, yeah, John, the pick's in. We all know that. John, yeah, it looks like defensive tackle here. Yeah, we got it, John.
Joel,
love
you.
Buddy.
Thank you.
Why you got to make fun of John?
I'm not making
fun of
him.
Is that really how he talks?
Yes, it is how he talks, and that's what he would do on those days. All
right. Now down to John Clayton on the sideline.
Thank you, Joel.
Thank you, buddy. There you go. There's Joel Klatt, who you can watch generally as the lead Fox college football analyst, but also on NFL Network on Thursday and Friday. Pretty cool. All right. Well, Brock, I'm sorry. We missed out on Blue 88. You didn't actually send any questions. You just sent a bunch of sound that you want to listen to. So I guess we just talked to Joel instead. We'll have to do that a little bit later. We got some stuff for you next.
I potted him down to say goodbye. He was still talking.
He's still talking? Yeah. Joel's probably going to be talking for the next half hour. He's still trying to figure out how to pronounce some of these names. All right, we'll come right back. It's Brock and Salk. Seattle Sports on 710.